Brown can save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 847-475-1590. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
Good morning, Chicago. I'm Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is on the air. This is where we discuss all your home improvement issues, from foundation leaks to roof repairs. Do you have a problem with your house and don't know what to do? You can give us a call, 847-475-1590. Maybe you need to know how to install a tile floor, repair a plumbing problem, replace a switch or an outlet. Give us a call, 847-475-1590. We've got open phones right now, so get your questions in. In the first hour, we'll have the Mighty House Tip of the Week with Rich Cowgill. In the second hour, we'll be talking with Commissioner Friedland from the Chicago. She's from the Department of Building. Check it out, Lisa.
Building Department.
Building Department.
With the City of Chicago?
Yes. The Commissioner. On this show.
I'm excited.
The head cheese.
I should come up with a list of questions.
I know. Well, we can't tip our hand too much. She may not show up then.
Oops.
If she happens to be listening.
Okay, I'm going to come up with a list of compliments.
Yes, there we go. And then, of course, Clutter Clarity. And since Lisa's in for Robbie, Lisa will be taking care of Clutter Clarity today. And then in the third hour, we've got Lynette Thompson, and she's from Dreamtown Realty. And she'll be talking to us about what's going on in the... We got a nasty buzz going there, Ben. I'm not sure where that's coming from. Okay. And then, of course, we've got... we'll be talking realty. We'll see what's going on in the real estate
realty
industry.
Realty or real estate?
What real estate? We'll see what's going on in the real estate industry around the Chicagoland area. Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And, of course, that drawing is at the end of every show. So feel free to call in and get your questions out there. So with that, did you hear that new place you can hear a podcast, Rich?
Yeah, Stitcher.
I did. You sent that email out.
And I'm like, I've not heard of Stitcher before.
Uh-huh.
So, and I guess you had a few people asking.
Yes.
You know. Requests?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was at some event and they said, we love listening to your show. You know, why aren't you on Stitcher? And I said, what are you talking about? And I said, Well, you know, you can go to all these other places. He goes, yeah, but I have Stitcher. I want to have your show on Stitcher. So I said, okay, I'll look into it. So, and then somebody else later on said, hey, I love listening to you, but you need to be on Stitcher. And I went, okay, I get the idea. So we're on Stitcher now.
You're such a trendsetter.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah. So the cool thing is there's home improvement shows that are on there. I think there's only three or four. So.
Well, it says there's only 65,000 shows to choose from.
Yes, that's all. Yeah. It's a pretty interesting thing. It just, what they do is they go out and capture everybody's podcasts, and you just go to that one place, kind of like iTunes, except for I don't think you don't have to pay for it.
It's like radio on demand?
Correct. Correct. So then you can just listen to the show and keep track of it and see what's going on. So, you know.
I think the easiest way to keep track of it is just to sign up for the newsletter.
Yeah, that makes it a little easier, too.
We send that out every Thursday, Friday, and that tells you who's coming on, what we're going to talk about, all the new places you can hear us, other than Stitcher, because I forgot about that, so I'll have to add that to the newsletter.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yep, I forgot to add it, too.
Yeah, so that's all right. I made a mental note. Mm-hmm. Problem is it's Saturday, so that works out on Monday.
So, yep, so you can find us on Stitcher now. So if you go on your phone or your tablet, you can just, it's STITCHER. So It's a
and I've downloaded it in that amount of time.
Just like that?
Yep. Up with the times. You know, I got to keep up with Mighty House Show.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, that's
can't get left behind.
Don't worry.
Now this bus Stitcher moves. Just
yeah, it's pretty cool. It's got it all kind of categorized: news, comedy, business, sports and society and culture. Well, there's tons of stuff out here.
Yep.
Ooh.
This bus doesn't move.
Guarantee we're not under that.
Yeah. This
life
bus
hacking is, tips.
This bus doesn't move very fast, so it's easy to keep up.
So that's only podcast though. It doesn't carry the show live. So you still got to go to TuneIn or 1590WCGO.com to get the live feed.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, or mightyhouse.net. We're streaming live there also. So
see how simple that is.
Yeah. Okay.
Lisa, nice of you to come
good
in
morning.
And sit in for Robbie today.
I was looking forward to it since I got the invite.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Always. I could just spend my morning with you guys, please.
Have to get up early on a Saturday.
What's the worst that could happen?
I think I was promised coffee, though. I do believe that was the contingency.
Oh.
I said I would do the show if there was coffee waiting for me.
Yeah, problem is Ryan doesn't drink coffee, so it's really not front of mind for him.
Well, I don't really drink coffee either. It was just a wine.
Oh.
Well, I was whining. I was supposed to be in.
Have.
I was supposed to be in Bloomington Normal until about 11 o'clock last night, and then drive back and then get up. But that trip got canceled. So.
Well, good.
How convenient.
So it was great.
Uh huh. And I think I drove past 15 or 20. Dunkin' Donuts coming here, so it's not like I couldn't have stopped.
I'm not really that much of a coffee drinker.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, you got your water.
I brought my water. That's really what I drink.
And we have matching.
We're both purple twins today.
We aren't
both
we, though?
Purple,
look at that.
Purple
see
water
that
bottles.
Are those gifts from the Barney show?
No.
Did you go see Barney together?
Yes.
Yes.
We're going to the live show later, right?
Yeah.
I think it's at the United Center.
Well, no, it's on ice, isn't it? Barney on ice.
Oh, I hope so. Everything's better on ice.
True story, yeah.
So, I think we're going to have to bug you about some solar stuff later on, too.
We can talk solar for sure, yeah. There's a lot going on in Illinois right now and just life in general. Yeah, the numbers that are out for 2016, what happened in the United States, holy buckets, man.
Yeah?
Doubled.
Excellent.
Doubled year over year.
Yes.
What industry is doing that? It's nuts.
Liquor.
We're installing a megawatt every 16 minutes in the
really?
United States right now.
Holy smokes. Not in Illinois, though.
But to put it in perspective, how long would we have to do that and even to get put a dent into the fossil fuel and nuclear?
Well, if we kept on this pace, we could do it pretty quickly, I think, in 10 years or so.
Wow.
Yeah, because that's the ultimate goal. So.
Yeah.
And Florida, you guys are on top of it, too. You're like that's the Sun Belt area there. So you guys have a lot of solar going in, don't you?
No. No, not at all. Nobody wants it on their house.
Uh-huh.
And then a lot of the cities won't allow it or don't like it. And then the real killer is in the state of Florida, it's illegal to buy electric from a third party. So you can't lease your rooftop to a startup that just wants to generate electricity.
I thought you guys voted that down.
No, that's...
That was the constitutional
still there.
Amendment.
That was a different one. That was actually to ban subsidies for people who wanted solar.
Okay. Yeah.
Was the way that really was
came
shook out.
Out.
And that did get voted down, which was a good thing. No, it's still very strange here for the Sunshine State.
To be anti-solar, I find that humorous. So that's good.
It's actually kind of disturbing.
Yeah. So we'll be getting into that a little bit later then, too, I think. So. The one thing I wanted to talk about today, too, is that popped up during the week. JCPenney is going to start a remodeling division. So they picked up appliances. So now they're selling appliances. And you can go to JCPenney and buy your appliances. But they're also going to start a remodeling division. So if you want to do a kitchen or a bathroom, you'll go to JCPenney to pick all that stuff out and have it installed. So they're not only going to sell you the stuff, they're also going to do the installation.
Hmm. Nothing wrong to go with that.
So many thoughts going on in my head.
All I kept thinking when I read that is Sears tried this.
Yes.
Sears tried this, and it didn't work too well. I don't see how Penny's can pull it off. And, you know, there's...
They have a plan.
Yeah, there are large companies that have tried to start remodeling, you know, like a national remodeling company.
When it seems to me, regardless of the trade, when you go national like that, you lose control of quality. And it seems to me that just the local guy with a truck who knows the area, knows the ordinances, knows the housing stock, knows the homeowners, tends to be a lot more successful than necessarily trying to cookie cutter it and make it into a national deal.
Well, the other problem you have is that you've actually got the store dictating the install price for the subcontractor, and it may not be enough, so he's just going to try and get in.
Same happens with solar.
All right, we're going to we'll talk a little bit more when we get back about that right after this. You're listening to
This is Mighty House. Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And, of course, you can use the hashtag Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. All right, there we go. So before we took off to the break there, we were talking about JCPenney deciding that they were going to be getting into the remodeling industry and start remodeling kitchens and bathrooms. And I can only assume that basements would be close behind that. And large... like we were talking before, large companies have tried to get into this before, you know, and of course the Big Orange, Big Blue, they still try to do that, but they don't do a complete room remodel like that. They do the installation stuff where they'll come in and install the windows, or they'll do the one trade installation. They don't do a multi-trade installation for whatever reason. I just don't think there's enough room in a budget for the overhead that it takes to have a large company like that do it. They put in so many different levels of management that you can't cover the cost of all of that of the actual job. As long as there's knuckleheads like me running around, you know, if you got rid of us, then they could raise the price up there and be okay. But there's too many other
legitimate contractors
that are doing it without all that overhead, that, you know, it makes it tough for them.
I would think so.
But well, they will finance.
Yes,
they'll finance, so they don't have to worry about it. Put on your pennies card and pay forever.
Well, and I'm sure that's part of the model.
That, oh, sure.
Right? I mean, the, you know, the breakage, making sure that people,
well, yeah, they want the interest. Yeah, that's where they make their money the most.
Still, where are they getting the hammers? Where are they getting the skilled labor?
You become a JCPenney certified installer.
Right. That's it.
Yeah,
I know. I know. But you just, you know, it's just right now, if you have a window installed by one of the big box stores, you don't know what company you're going to get. You don't know if they just started last week or if they've been doing it for 10 years.
Right.
You don't know who you're getting. You don't you don't have that ability to be able to interview the person that's going to be in your house every day and find out who they are, what they are, and be comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Because they're just reselling.
And kitchens and bathrooms always bothered me anyway, because I don't know that I've ever been able to do a kitchen remodel, like a full gut remodel, without some fairly extensive electric, whereas, you know, a lot of times we have to do a panel swap.
Right.
You know, because most homes, 10 or 15 or a 20 circuit panel.
Right.
And I need to put in like a 150 amp 30 circuit to get enough circuits in the kitchen.
Right.
So that's usually not in their bid. You know, are they not pulling permits and not getting things inspected? So, I mean, there's just a lot of things that I just don't like, that home services stuff. Yeah.
I automatically assume we're using 9 circuits in a kitchen. You know, so if you have a panel that's full and you're remodeling your kitchen, what's that mean?
Means you need another 2,500 before you start.
Yeah, you might have 2 or 3 circuits going to that kitchen, but
so rarely when I look at a basement and I look at somebody's service panel, is there one open circuit?
Yes.
Let alone something for a remodel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
People are very disappointed when I, you know, because I'll go in and talk about solar and they, you know, and I'll say, well, you know, and they're like, well, I'm going to do this as part of a different remodel. I'm like, well, then you're going to need this electrical upgraded anyway.
Right.
Like,
so get it done. Get it over with now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just bite the bullet. So I don't know. I guess I can wish them luck, but, you know, I just... Eventually,
you could try it, but I don't think at this point it's going to sound very sincere.
No, well, here's the deal. People have tried it. The big box stores have tried it, and so now they're going to venture into it. Owens Corning tried a remodeling thing for a while, and
oh, you mean their basement system?
Well, no, not just their basement system. They were actually doing some
kitchens
and bathrooms, additions, that kind of stuff, and. They couldn't make it because of the management overhead.
Well, so now and Sears and Kmart have just announced that they're not sure how much longer they're going to stay in existence. So should JCPenney be modeling that?
I know.
Because it seems that business model is proven to not be successful.
Right. And I guess here's the thing. People are going to keep trying it and somebody's going to figure it out.
Right.
You know, eventually it'll get figured out. I see them all doing the same thing, making the same mistakes.
Yeah. Well, we see the box stores wanting to install solar. Mm-hmm. Some have come in.
So they should
dabbled
do is hire you to teach them.
Yeah, no. I don't. Honestly, I just don't think it can. I don't know. I don't know how you'd pull that off. You have to cut all the management out of it.
Yeah.
And that's all they do. They manage it. They don't actually. They're not going to own the screwdrivers that install the.
Right.
Unless
there is no management and really truly is just outsourced. And so you just have a relationship with local contractors and, you know, it becomes a sales extension.
Right. Yeah.
But again, as a homeowner, you've lost all control because you have no idea who's coming into your house.
Yep. Uh-huh. And how do you know you're going to be living with them for a month while they're doing your kitchen or your bathroom?
Right.
Or longer. Because they're going to be missing pieces. It'll be 2 months. They're always missing pieces. And actually, the truth is, that's why most of those fail.
Yeah.
Is that because they're missing pieces. Like, if they're paying you $500 to go install cabinets,
mm-hmm.
not bad. I could go slap the cabinets in and do a great job for the $500 and in one day.
Mm-hmm.
It's good pay. But they're always missing pieces, and they will not pay us to go back and, to put those in.
Mm-hmm.
They want me to do that on my time.
Right.
Out of that $500. I go, no, that's a return trip, blah, blah. And that's where every one of those has failed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, let's go to the phones and let's see. Let's try this. Go to two. Hey, Will, you're on Mighty House. Thanks for hanging on. Oh, are you there? Maybe not.
Will, we're missing you.
Nope. Oh, you know what it is. Hang on, Will, because Ben split on us, and he needs to turn it up back there. Oh,
nice. He's in control, and he left.
Yeah, the bus driver left. He got up and took off.
I feel like we're careening.
Yes, we
are. It's very early in the morning to careen.
That's the way it goes, you know? So, okay.
Should we play a psychic phone call? We're going to guess what Will was calling for.
I know.
Psychic phone calls.
Trixie put it on the board here, so I do know what he's calling about.
Calling about 3 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Are you going to talk on the air? You need to tell Ben. Okay, so Trixie's whispering in the background there because she doesn't
coming in from Carrier Post.
Yes,
we have Will's call.
Oh, there he is. All right, we got Ben back in control of the bus.
Hello.
there. How about now, Will?
Hello.
Hey, there you are.
Hello.
At least Ben wasn't on an Uber bus.
No, he wasn't.
The thing with Sears, too, is that they at least succeeded in selling more appliances under the Kenmore brand than anybody else in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. This whole thing, too, was tried with home inspectors. There was a company years ago, U.S. Inspects, and they just fell apart because the codes differ.
Mm-hmm.
You go on the message boards for home inspectors and, 50 home inspectors, 100 opinions, about how things go.
Right.
But the thing I wanted to ask you, though, more than anything else, as a duly licensed electrical contractor in the state of Illinois, in Chicago, I've been told years ago that whenever, you upgrade a panel, that you have to bring everything in the house up to current code. Mm-hmm. And but I've been told recently by a buddy of mine, a code inspector in a suburb, that no, you don't have to.
Right.
So what's the story there?
Well, that's going to, each municipality is going to have their own, you know, upgrades to it, to each law. But if you change the panel out, obviously, if we're down there and we're pulling new circuits and we're putting in a new panel, and we find circuits that are overloaded or we find old cloth wiring that's falling apart, that, you know, safety issues, we're going to address. We don't have a choice. I can't leave people like that. So
what about like GFCI, right. AFCI?
Yeah, no, that's, well, see, now here's the thing. You can't put in GFI circuits and or AFCI, which is the arc fault.
Yeah.
You can't put those on the way the houses are wired today because it has, you know, here we go into the weeds. You have a shared neutral and you can't.
Multi-wire, yeah.
So, and the problem is, the older the house is, the harder that's going to be because some jamoke 15 years ago decided to go in there and put in an outlet and grabbed a hot from one circuit and the neutral from somewhere else. And so now there's just no way to isolate that neutral, isolate those two hot legs and make sure that everything is lined up.
Or half the wiring is BX and it's snaking all over the place.
Exactly. You know, we were in a house yesterday that I turned off the breaker and it turned off the two bedroom outlets, another bedroom light, the garage lights out with detached garage, and also down in the basement, the laundry room.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, there's just no way you're going to put an arc fault on that.
You know, exactly.
It's just not going to happen. So
the thing that gets me is that, you know, most of the problems we see, I mean, the number one cause of problems we see is deferred maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
The second cause is do-it-yourselfer.
Yep.
And you know, actual.
Yeah, but that's because of the result of number one.
Yeah.
If you defer the maintenance long enough, the price is too high to fix it, so you attempt yourself.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, too, that, you know, you get guys who are doctors, lawyers, and commodities brokers who live on the North Shore, and they think it's simple.
Yeah.
So they rewire their basement, and they use all white, you know, and I'm like, what the heck?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they say, well, if you know, plumbers and electricians and stuff are stupid because if they were smart, they'd be doctors or lawyers or commodities brokers.
Right.
But, you know, you ever try to see a brain surgeon cut crown molding? It's not pretty.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, but it's different types of intelligence.
Yes.
And right. I have a guy the other day I did an inspection for.
You have a guy?
He's a young structural engineer, and it was a house and it needed some work. And he, you know, he was saying, I'm going to redo this all myself. And I'm like, have you had experience doing it? He goes, no, but I'm a structural engineer. And I go, well, that means you could go in the attic and look at the joists, but, you know, don't try tile.
Right.
And the thing was, the two bathrooms were classic 1950s tile. One was pink and one was blue.
Oh,
beautiful
yeah.
condition. Nice. You don't need a new bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, this works.
Yes.
But he's going to go out there and he's going to try to do it. He's going to screw up a number of times and eventually he'll learn.
Yeah.
But
Beite finds out it's a mud set floor and wall system that he's going to need a sledgehammer for 4 days to get it out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool.
And they think that you can learn everything off of Facebook now.
Or YouTube. Yep.
YouTube.
All right. All right, Will. Thanks for the call, buddy. All right.
Bye-bye.
We'll talk to
you.
You know, but that does have me thinking that, you know, so Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs, you know, he's really pushing the importance of trades in schools.
Yeah.
Who's going to do this stuff? You know, they don't teach it.
We'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on him.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check him out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts or previous shows available at MightyHouse.net. Whoa! You got that? What are you doing, Ben?
That was Rich, man.
Oh, that was Rich? Oh, we're going to blame Rich. Okay.
No, it was me.
Oh.
But that just showed me something that might be on my end of this noise, but I don't know what it would be generating.
Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Should we continue car talk from the break?
Whatever you want, man. Anything that we're passionate about.
Hey, you know what? I I am always tinkering, and I'm ready to grit the wrenches out and get in the garage and go tinker on something. So.
Well, so you should go over to my best friend's house. She rents her garage out.
Yeah.
And she has stored a Porsche. Gosh, that Porsche has been in there and hasn't moved. I'm going to say 2007.
Oh, that's not bad.
No.
The concrete underneath the Porsche is really crumbling away because there's there's no way there's any fluids left in that car.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Nothing's left. Everything's on the floor.
Excellent. See, that's it. I don't know. I've got a car on blocks. It's been there for 6 or 7 years in my garage. And I go out and I put a piece on. You know, I mess with something or I go look in and I go put another piece on. So
what is it? Wasn't something you want to drive?
Huh?
What is it?
Oh, it was going to be a quick flip I bought in.
Oh, nice.
How many years ago was it? It's at least 10 years ago I bought this. Nice. It was going to be a quick.
Well, like,
I got it on.
It's going to be an antique soon then.
No, it already is. But I picked it up on what is that?
Like an auction?
Yeah, eBay.
Oh, on eBay, yeah.
So I picked up an 81 Vette. It was real cheap. I thought, cool, I can flip this thing over, clean it up, and then when I drove it off the trailer into the garage up on blocks, and it's been there ever since. So
it happens.
Yeah. So, you know, you start taking things apart, and you're like, oh, well, that's not right. So then you fix that, and then you go, oh, well, that's not right. Next thing I know, the body's off the frame, and, you know, it's just completely broken
well,
down.
That sounds fun, though.
That's my 57 Chevy. I've had that car almost 30 years.
Yeah.
And I actually built it in 2006, and it had to be done for 2007 for its 50th birthday. And it blows me away. It's 60 years old now.
Wow.
So I figure in a couple more years, I do not have to pay to have the car fixed. I'm just going to have it all done through Medicare.
So is it one of those ones with like the big fins off the back?
Yes.
That 57 Chevy? Yeah, my parents used to have one of those. Yeah, when I was a baby.
Yep.
Yeah, my car seat going from California to Great Lakes was a laundry basket.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we survived somehow.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know. So we were talking during the break that Rich is getting his car out of storage, and he's moving that over. But you just can't go out there, charge the battery, and fire it up, right?
No, not because it's been sitting for 3.5 years.
Right.
It's been sitting in a climate-controlled storage facility for vehicles.
Right. Oh, well, but
it doesn't help the bias ply tires.
No.
It doesn't help the four-wheel drum brakes. It doesn't help the old Power Glide transmission. It's going to need some TLC.
But you've got it sitting on the ground. You didn't get it up off and get the tires up off the ground?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. I've never seen it.
So will you tow it? Will you tow it?
Well, where it goes, the place I take it, you cannot go in the building because it is dedicated as a long-term storage facility for cars.
Right.
Well, some of the cars are like Ford GTs, Ferrari Testarossa, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Lambos. There's some pretty serious coin inside so that you're not allowed in.
Oh. So you go.
You know what I mean? Because I don't want you knowing exactly what's in there.
Right. So
otherwise, it'd be like gone in 60 seconds. There'd be a car hauler out front one night at 1 o'clock in the morning, and everything'd be gone.
Right. So what? You pull up, and they bring you your car, going to get the dry cleaners.
Yeah, and they have a car wash there, so then they wash and detail your car, so you can pick it up.
Yeah, but your car can't be washed, can it?
Yeah.
Oh. Did you get it painted?
No, it's got a 30-foot paint job.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
No, the paint's
What's
in good shape.
What's a 30-foot paint job?
Yeah, it looks great from 30 feet away.
But
well, you know, when you walk up on it, because it's got cracks. It's a 56 Corvette, so it's an old hand-laid fiberglass body. So where the seams are, there's no metal reinforcement. They didn't start that till 62 or 63.
Yeah.
So the paint cracks from movement, mm-hmm. and it's got the old lacquer paint on it, so... That's why I'm bringing it home. I got to do some work, and the motor's rebuilt, the original 265 dual quad. So
yeah,
I'm getting kind of excited to see it.
Yeah, because you haven't seen her in a while.
I put it on a trailer in September of 2013 and haven't seen it since.
Wow. Wow. So
I know.
So that's cool. So so when you go pick this up, they're not going to get it all up and running for you, are they? They just pull it out and put it on the trailer?
Well, it is running. They called me yesterday. They already brought it down. It is running. They asked me if they wanted the mechanic to look at it. Because, you know, the brakes could be this and that. And I go, nah, it's good. I'm qualified.
I'll take care of it myself. So,
but that's why right after a show I have to run because I have to run to Napa and I got to get brake clean, carb clean, trans fluid, oil, and what was the other thing? I better start a list.
Oil filter.
Nah, that's got a cartridge type. I got a cartridge here.
Is that the one where you just drop in the
you drop the bolt and the can comes down. You drop the cartridge in. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a roll of toilet paper that you stick in there, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Looks like.
Excellent. Excellent.
Anyway.
Okay, so that's is that enough for car talk today?
I think so, but okay. I mean, you know, it's good stuff.
Yeah. So, check it out.
So my car.
Yeah.
I have a brand new car. Got it in June, July.
Yeah.
Three accidents in 3 months. I am a magnet. I just got it back, and
what
the bearings apparently are red. The bearings are apparently twice. Once it was my niece backed into me. Once it was my coworker backed into me. And once it was somebody just plowing into me.
Really?
Yeah. So now I need another rental car. I decided on my way over here I've got to drop it off again.
So what's going on with
fourth trip? When the last accident, they hit my wheel, and I guess they broke a bearing, but the body shop didn't find it.
Until you start driving it around.
Now that I've been driving, yeah.
Yeah. So is it grinding a little bit?
It's loud. I can feel it on my hands.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not good.
That's bad.
Yeah. Is my tire going to fall off?
Yes, it could.
It could. It is possible.
Probably won't, but yes, it could. But, you know, the things have changed. They changed the geometry. Like, you don't have spindles and stuff like you used to on older vehicles. Now it's, you know, drive shaft that goes right through and blah, blah, blah. It's just... They change it too much.
Don't ignore it.
No, not at all.
See, I would walk up, just take my foot on the top of the tire and push on it. And if you see that it's wobbling, then I would call a tow truck. If it stays solid, then it's okay.
We'll check it out. We'll do that on the way out of the show.
We'll check it out.
I'm walking home.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, excellent.
All right, so we're done with car talk.
So, if you're going to store a car, you put it up, you know, like I was saying, I get it up off the ground so that way you don't flat spot your tires. And if you're going to store it for long periods of time, you can do that. You can soak the cylinders, you know, spray grease and stuff.
Marble mystery oil.
Yeah. You spray that in all the spark plug holes. And there's a way to prep a car. You don't just pull it in, park it, and walk away. And it'd be ideal to just get all the gas out of it, too. You know, run the gas out or drain it out so that way the gas, as it gets old, turns to varnish and it dries out and it's gook. And then the car doesn't idle right. It doesn't run right. The fuel pumps don't work right. All that stuff. So,
well, the paper filter gets clogged up fast.
Yeah.
You know, that's me. I know half the problem I'm going to have because this place has started the car at least once a month for 3 years. So the motor's been turned over. That's good.
That's cool.
But still, they only called me once to authorize putting gas in it. So that tells me that if there's gas in it, it's not good.
Yeah.
It's older number stuff. One, 2 gallons of gas. We don't want much. We just need fresh.
Right. And you can put the stay built in, which I use on motorcycles and stuff. The stay built really does work, and that will extend the life of that fuel you're putting in your car if you're going to be storing it for long periods of time.
Right.
So definitely you could try the stay built also, and drive it until you're almost out of fuel, and then put a little bit in there and run it so the stay built's in there, or just let it run out. If you know you're going to be parking it a long, long time, like years, then you could do that too. So pretty interesting stuff for me anyway. Rich and I love that. we're not only swinging a hammer, we like slinging wrenches too. So
yes, that's hammer by day and wrench by night. That would be perfect world.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like my dad.
Yeah
cool.
And me when I was little, because I was always the tool runner.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And then I'd go get it again because I didn't get it the first time. You know, get me vice grips, and I'd come back with pliers. Those aren't vice grips.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know, Dad. Draw a picture.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So by the time he gets done drawing a picture, he could have gone and gotten it himself. Exactly. Right. Cool. All right. Well, do we have a is it time for – I don't know. Is it going to be time for – yes, it will be. For the tip of the week coming up next?
Yes, that'll be the next segment.
What phase are we on? Is this number 7 in the series of 12?
No, we finished up the whole blueprint thing last week.
Oh, we did. But we didn't cover putting solar on there, did we?
No.
Where would the solar, if you were going to put solar on your house, What sheet?
I would suggest that you should have A on your cross section page. You should call out maybe increasing joist or plywood thickness.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the roof plan, you would lay out the panels and wire routing.
Oh, okay.
And I would recommend that you look up cut sheets to see the exact dimensions and not just draw a square.
For the architect.
That's just saying.
You are.
You're telling the architect that, right?
Over and over and over again.
Because all the manufacturers make all the panels the exact same size.
Pretty much. They're pretty much 40 inches by 66, roughly. Almost all panels. It might be 62 by 41, you know, somewhere in there.
Right.
I can't tell you the number of blueprints just last week, three sets of blueprints that I looked at, and they just drew squares.
Right.
Just a couple random squares. And, you know, and then the homeowner's disappointed because I can't get 45 panels on the roof. I can only get 8. I'm like, well, your architect didn't draw it right.
Yeah. Yeah, but, of course, that's your fault
right.
that it can't go on right. there because the architect said it could.
Right.
Yeah.
So, well, and it's surprising, too, how many people think it'll do their entire load when they've got, you know, 3 deep freeze freezers.
Yes. Exactly. All right. We're going to come back with a tip of the week right after this. You are listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on him.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And, of course, you can use the hashtag Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Okay, there we go. Let's see. Now we're looking for the tip of the week. Is that what we're looking for now?
I think so.
You think so?
I think so.
Let me try this one.
Okay, Sparky.
Nice. All right, so
boom, done.
This week we're going to talk about using traditional lumber for framing, or should you be using engineered lumber? So for years we framed homes with traditional lumber from mills all over North America, but that trend's changing. You know, every year there's an increase in the use of engineered lumber. In 2016, the American I-joist production totaled 730 million linear feet of I-joist.
Wow.
So that's a 6.3% increase from 2015, and new residential construction is expected to consume 16 billion board feet of lumber in 2017, up almost 14.5 billion board feet from 2016.
Holy smokes.
So needless to say, we go through lots of trees.
Yes, we do. And
so
the fire department really doesn't really care for these new engineered lumbers, though. Fire departments would rather see a regular stick of lumber used for framing floors and whatnot also, though, correct?
I don't know. I'm not a fireman. Now, the difference is that, yes, a 2x12 will take longer to burn through than an I-joist.
Correct. And because it's particle board, vertical mulch, whatever you want to call it, when they assemble those, they're strong, but as soon as a fire starts to get through them, they degrade really fast.
Right, so the heat can degrade them. But that's why they're pushing for the residential sprinkler systems to stop all that.
Or they're doubling up with the drywall for a longer
right.
burn rates.
Exactly. So the term engineered lumber can mean anything from trusses to I-joists, micro-lams, LVLs, laminated veneer beams, that kind of thing, and even studs made from OSB. So their use in building homes today does have its advantages over traditional lumber. We'll start with a little bit about traditional lumber. Let's just, like 2x4, start with studs. Most lumber yards their cost for studs is higher than the box stores. Mm-hmm. And most homeowners, they're going to see a 2x4 as a 2x4. But they don't realize that the species of the tree or where it came from does mean a great deal. You know, the lumber yards usually buy train car loads from mills in the northwest or northeast, and those are typically labeled as SPF, which is spruce pine fir. Mm-hmm. And those studs have tighter grain and better moisture content and more stability than the box stores that usually sell something labeled SYP, which is southern yellow pine. And that wood can be very unpredictable. And a lot of times it's allergic to nails. You know, you go put a nail in it and it just splits.
Right.
And it's just because the lumber's way too dry. It should be a 9 to 10%, and most of those in the box store are 4 and 5%.
Especially
so
if
just
buy,
too
it,
dry and brittle.
Is it also really young? Is the wood really young?
It's not so much young, but southern yellow pine does not come from a large tree. It's, you know, they're tall, but they're, I don't think the circumference gets over 20 inches for the most part. So you're not getting a great yield.
Right, and it's a
and
fast
and then because
growth.
Of that, they're not stable. They twist, and there's some issues.
Right, and it's a fast growth.
Oh, that's
lumber.
What I meant, fast growth.
So yeah, it's fast, you, faster growth.
So you, when you grow them faster, the grain's further apart, and then it's just not as strong. You know, what you could do and with a 2x6, you know, 50, 60 years ago, you can't do that same span with a 2x6 today. It just
no, they're always updating span tables for that reason. So another problem you run into with traditional lumber is dimensional stability, and that means boards can get taller or shorter depending on humidity. And actually, worse is that they're not even the same height depending on length. And this happens a lot more than you would think. Uh-huh. Like, you're framing a floor and you're using 16-foot 2x12s for half of the floor and 2x12 12-footers for the other side of the floor, you know, from breaking on top of a steel beam. Mm-hmm. And they could be a quarter inch different in height. So you're either sitting there chiseling the tops off the taller ones. If this break is in the middle of your living room, you now have a hump in your floor that you're going to complain to the builder about, but he didn't build the wood.
Right.
So if it's under a wall, it usually doesn't show, but that's always a problem. You don't want a hump in your finished floor. So the ease and use and availability of traditional lumber makes it easy, and it's kind of a time-honored choice, but engineered lumber, the initial cost per foot might be slightly higher, but the installed cost is a lot lower. Engineered lumber is definitely dimensionally stable. It doesn't expand and contract as much with humidity. It is machined to greater tolerances because it's all factory made. And it's easier to cut and drill for plumbing, electric, or HVAC because it's just a thinner web.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you can blast holes all over the place in that stuff. It's great.
Right. So good example of installation is like framing floors. Again, when you're spanning a house, let's say it's 30 foot wide, and you have a row of steel down the middle, we need 2x12, 16-footers. They're going to sit on the foundation wall and sit next to each other, nailed together on top of that steel.
Right.
So now you have a stagger in your floor. You might have a height issue in the middle. It does vary. But with engineered I-joists, you can actually install 30-foot joists in one piece.
Yep.
You probably still have a piece of steel in the middle. They're lighter. They're, you know, one person can carry around a 30-foot I-joist, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
They're lighter, easier to work with, and the top and bottom cord is much wider, which then actually allows for better glue surface and screwing down, so that gives you much less chance for squeaking.
Right.
So a lot of times they can carry greater loads, but, you know, they have heights. We use them up to 24 inches tall,
yeah.
You know, depending on your span, and to reduce the amount of deflection, the bounce in the floor.
Yeah, but I like that trampoline look. And you walk through and then, you know, the plates are rattling. I like that when that happens.
No.
No, oh, no.
We do not. No, you always want to go over if you can. That word of caution, though, there are limitations for engineered lumber, the biggest being understanding what you can and can't do, you know, how it needs to be put together. Typically, we use different types and sizes of fasteners. Most damage to engineered lumber is the result of a trade notching or cutting a piece where it shouldn't be notched or cut.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use engineered lumber on 24-inch centers instead of traditional lumbers, you'd use 30% lumber in your home. You have more area for insulation, and it makes the home more energy efficient.
Wow.
So, you know, that is always a good thing if you can do that.
So you can go you can have a greater separation. So you said 30 inches on center?
24.
24 inches 24. On center. Versus
normally
16. I mean,
you can do that
16.
Even today. Right. Which then, like I said, it's 30% less lumber. So if you did engineered studs, engineered joists, trusses for your roof, you have far less lumber involved, and it actually goes together much faster.
So when I get up into an attic and I'm looking and I see big, huge separations, I get worried.
No. That's fine. Especially don't get
it's designed for that.
Yeah. Okay.
That's where you get that young structural engine.
Can it also then take solar, which is roughly about 3 pounds per square foot on a pitched roof?
Yeah.
I would say 3 pounds per square foot is really nothing.
Right. Especially
it's another layer of shingles, really.
Right. And most all roofs are figured for for dead load, which is just what that is. You know, it's just sitting there.
Well, and that's going to be my next question. What about live load? Because I am putting live load up there.
No, live load, you walking around on it, and that's temporary.
But that solar panel is in the wind.
I consider that dead load that's just sitting there.
Oh, she's talking about the uplift of wind.
Yeah. Well, that goes back to the attachment. Like we're down here, we have to strap all our trusses, and we glue in when we do our plywood. The first rows have to be glued and nailed. So, while I believe the trend to use engineered lumber is going to increase, but we do need to educate carpenters and clients as well.
Excellent. All right.
Cool.
We're going to take a quick break and come back with the commissioner right after this. You're listening to
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.